In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of all those who are suffering at this time from this virus and other sicknesses, and especially for Jan Lassiter, mother of Father Simon Ross Carrion, priest of the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. Today we celebrate the third Tuesday of Lent, but it also finds itself to be the Feast of St. Patrick, one of the great saints celebrated here in the United States and as well as in Europe, a patron of Europe as he is. He's one of the ones credited with bringing the faith to its fullness, as we know, on the Emerald Isle, Ireland. You can read a lot about the legend of St. Patrick on your own and see how the various things that went on in his life that took him from one place to the next, and how God miraculously used every difficulty in his life so that he would be well and better prepared to be the servant who would bring true faith to the island which is known for such great missionary efforts. Ireland is truly one of the greatest successes the Church has ever known, especially the greatest of the successes of God's Catholic Church in Europe. I want to share with you two stories of the life of St. Francis, or St. Patrick. There's so many things that we all know that could be shared, but I was introduced to a new story today by another. This is one of the first moments when St. Patrick began his ministry there in Ireland. It was said that when St. Patrick went all the way up and rowed in his own boat to go and make his first mission there in Ireland, he rowed himself up upon a small cove, a small little water that was there, and docked his boat. That very same day, he began preaching to the small group of inhabitants who were there around him. And at that, preaching to the chieftain of the local area in their own tongue, he began to convert the entirety of that village that was there. They immediately on that same day asked if they could have that baptism which he spoke of, so they could have this one God who is in three persons reign over them as well. And so the whole of the family or the whole of the village began to convert at that time, that night, when Blessed Patrick, along with his small group of companions, were gathered around him. There was a young boy who came out having just received baptism, still wearing his baptismal white garment that they put upon him as a young child, went out and discovered the place where St. Patrick and his companions were sleeping under the stars. And seeing each one of them there, cuddled up by the fire there, this boy decided that he would go and lie with Patrick. And so this young child went there and laid himself at the feet of St. Patrick, and with his own hands began to clasp the feet of St. Patrick. In that movement, just like the apostles of old with Christ our Lord, they began to rebuke the child, try to shoo him away and say, no, this is not the place for a child to be here among we who are religious. No, you can't touch in this way. Go off and do your own thing. Be with your family. It's not appropriate. Patrick, rousing from the commotion, looked down and with the heart of Christ that he always had, that softness, smiled upon the young boy and called him closer to himself. Brought him up to his own, rather than his feet where he thought he was unworthy to be so close to Patrick, brought him up and held him within his own arms and said, yes, this boy can stay with me. And he held him close and changed his name at that moment, giving him the name, I believe it was Benin, which means good or gentle or kind. And he pronounced at that moment a prophecy over this young child. He said, this child, to you I give my kingdom. And so it was, the young boy became an ardent follower of St. Patrick from his earliest years, following him everywhere that when he achieved the proper age was allowed to do so, becoming a great follower, a great priest. And finally, when it came time for St. Patrick to retire his bishopric, he himself did succeed him as the second bishop of Ireland, ruling with that kindness and that joy which was all over his life, that sweetness and innocence which he displayed even there as a young child. That's the way each of us are called to be, to have that closeness, that movement to where we can curl up at the feet of the apostle, the feet of Christ. That's what we do when we have adoration, isn't it? We come just like that young child, come before not St. Patrick, who was a great and holy man, but before God himself. Here we plead ourselves at a distance, seeking to draw close to Christ. But he longs for us to do something even more, which is not just to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament and to adore him when he is shown at Holy Mass, but if we've made ourselves ready by a worthy confession, even to taste him, to take him with us, to become intimately related to him. And just as St. Patrick gave Benin, that sweet child, a prophecy of you will have my kingdom, So our Blessed Lord does when he gives us the opportunity to receive him, the Holy Eucharist, to bestow his kingdom upon us. In fact, he allows his kingdom to be among us and within us. A second story of St. Patrick. Now, St. Patrick, when he was coming near the end of his life, was visited by many visions and many mystical experiences that he had. And this Blessed Patrick, when he came to the latter point of his life, he was given a vision that horrified him and caused him great distress one night. He saw the whole of Ireland. And there it was, the Irish people there were represented with a series of lights. And he saw that the whole of Ireland was full of light, lights just shooting up all over the place, just like you and I would see a globe lighting up in the midst of the darkness. And that brought him great joy. And that light then went from there and went to all sorts of lands that were out lighting up all over the world with various lights. And he began to rejoice. It was our Lord Jesus, in fact, in the vision who showed him these things. And then slowly, one by one, lights began to go out. And in fact, all over the world, it seemed as though the lights were vanishing everywhere. And even upon the Irish Isle itself, lights began to go out. And this moved St. Patrick to great tears in his vision with the Lord. When the Lord was speaking to him, he said, "Lord, let it be not so. Let it be not so that the faith should be lost, even here in Ireland." And the Lord said to him, "Patrick, my son, the faith will never die out in Ireland." And as he saw that, what the one light that was left in Ireland, from there began to spread more and more light throughout Ireland again. We see that vision, in a sense, taking root within our own day. Ireland has been a great boon for the world. The reason why we have Mass and we have a Catholic faith here in the United States is much due to the Irish missionaries and priests who sent their own people here to the New World in order that Christ's light may be spread even on our new land. In fact, so many of the good priests, if you look about the annals of history here in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, not just on the eastern coast of the United States, but even here in New Mexico, here so many of our early pastors were of Irish descent or directly Irish from the land itself. All throughout the world, all throughout Africa and Asia, Irish priests gave their lives so that Christ may be loved and adored in the sacrament, in his love, and souls may receive holy baptism. Today, they tell us, in another 20 or 30 years, I can't remember the exact statistic, it said that there will be no priests in Ireland. This is what has come to in our world. Just as our Lord visited Patrick with that vision of the lights going out, so we see it in our own day. And now at a time where the holy sacrifice of the Mass is being squelched throughout our nation and the world, and only in private Masses, like the one that we're having today, where you all just show up when the Mass is private because the doors are unlocked, it's a sign of things to come. The movement that we should have is a longing to be with our Lord Jesus at all times. He's here. How often do we take the opportunity to find him? We do not know how long this lack of the Eucharist and the lack of the sacraments will persist within our nation. In the Archdiocese of Portland last night, they canceled all Masses in a stronger way than even here, all the way through the end of the Easter season. So there'll be no even Triduum Masses offered in public in the whole of the Archdiocese of Portland. That very well may be something that we have to contend with even here. How much do we love our Lord in the most sacrament of the altar? Do we cherish him? It's said in one of the things that we as priests are taught to speak about and to pray upon and meditate upon every time before we go to celebrate Mass is a little saying. Where it comes from, we do not know. But it says, "Priest of God, celebrate this Mass as though it were your first Mass, though it were your last Mass, though it were the only Mass." How true is that for us when we don't know when, because of lack of faith, the sacraments will be taken from us? I give you one further encouragement, that even in this dark age, remember it was that our Lord visited, and in that midst of that great torment, St. Patrick crawled out to God and said, "No, it can't be that even the light of Christ would be extinguished in my beloved Ireland." The Lord said, "Look again, that the light would not go out totally, and so it would spring forth again." Even just this day, a young woman who I know showed me a picture that her own young son drew. And on that image was going through a list of assignments. What do you desire to do with your life? Where do you wish to go? What are your dreams? Something that you deal with young children often. And her young boy drew a picture of a priest celebrating Mass. Much better than I can draw myself. The Lord is faithful, even when we ourselves are faithless. Let us ask him for an increase of faith in our own souls, that the light may not go out, not just in Ireland, but the light might not go out here in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, and especially here, the Church of St. Rose. We've had the faith and the sacrament celebrated here since 1907, 113 years. May our Lord give us another 113 with a greater outpouring of priestly vocations and vocations to the religious life than has ever been known. Post tenebros lux, out of darkness springs forth the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.